Pushkin. Hello, everyone. Here's this week's tangent, exclusively for Pushkin Plus listeners. Sometimes we get great material in interviews that doesn't fit in the episode. Actually, that happens most of the time if you're talking with someone who really knows their stuff. Now we have tangents, so all this greatness finally has a home. One of my favorite interviews I did for our episode about triplicates was with David Courtwright, the leading historian of the drug trade. David started telling me about something insane. America once had a strategic opium reserve. As I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you are an American or anyone in suffering from chronic pain in the, say, the 20s or 30s, or being preparing for some operation, is morphine really the only available effective painkiller in that era?
No, and in fact, that's a great question. One of the big things that happens is that if you rewind the tape to the 1870s or 1880s, yes, opiates were among the few relatively effective painkillers. But the Bayer Pharmaceutical Company in 1899 introduces this new drug called aspirin. And there are a variety of other coal tar derivative drugs that have analgesic effects and fever fighting effects. And so there are other kinds of drugs that people can and do use for chronic non-cancer pain. Now, you understand that the cancer pain is always in a separate category, so that, mm-hmm. that nobody, you know, not least the Bureau of Narcotics, nobody's really concerned about a patient who is dying of cancer, who is quote unquote addicted to morphine. And in fact, the Bureau always saw one of its missions as seeing to it that there was an adequate medical supply of narcotics for those kinds of purposes, and to treat military casualties. Because when you're dealing with shock and trauma and so on, these are appropriate medical uses. In fact, Harry Anslinger, the head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, was the biggest buyer of opiates in the world in the late 30s and the early 40s, because he was anticipating military medical need, and he was buying up much of the Turkish opium crop. And that was one of the reasons that prices were high and drugs were scarce on the street.
So when Anslinger is buying stuff, he is stockpiling specifically morphine.
Well, he's stockpiling raw opium, which American pharmaceutical manufacturers subsequently converted into morphine for military medical use. He even stored it in U.S. Treasury vaults. he bought up these crates of opium and like gold in Fort Knox or something. He stored these drugs in U.S. Treasury vaults.
Yeah. So if I had cancer, I go to my doctor in 1938. I have a very painful case of terminal cancer. My doctor might well prescribe morphine.
Correct, especially if you were in the later stages of the disease. So there is a debate within medicine of when do we start giving people opiates who have advanced cancer. Generally speaking, doctors were trying to avoid two extremes. One extreme was giving lots of opiates too soon, which was actually referred to as snowing the patient under. Just, you know, hitting them with a lot of powerful drugs before they really need it. And then not being able to really increase the dosage later on because you've more or less shot your bolt. And then the other danger, of course, was waiting too long and using insufficient quantities or insufficiently powerful narcotics so that the patient suffered at the end of his or her life. And so you've got to try to find that happy medium. But there's no evidence that I found that anyone, no matter how gung-ho they were on prosecuting non-medical use or marijuana or anything like that, there's nobody in the Bureau of Narcotics who wants to eliminate that kind of treatment. In fact, Harry Anslinger once gave special permission for the use of heroin to treat a nun who was dying of a very aggressive form of, I believe it was metastatic stomach cancer or something of that nature. And morphine just wasn't doing the job. And there were still a few legal sources of heroin in the United States. These were basically drugs that had been manufactured before 1924, when the government declared the manufacture of heroin to be illegal. And so there's still a few bottles of this stuff around in old hospital pharmacies. And so he gets a telegram. Is it okay to give this nun who's dying of cancer heroin? Answer, yes, okay, do it. He is certainly not opposed to that. And he himself, by the way, was using morphine in the last stages of his life. He died of a coronary condition and was apparently in fairly severe pain in the last days of his life. And some of his biographers have treated that as an irony. But I've never considered that to be ironic at all, because that's, in fact, what the Bureau of Narcotics was in business to do.
Thanks for subscribing to Pushkin Plus and for humoring this tangent. You can hear more bonus content from other Pushkin shows like Well-Read Black Girl, Deep Cover, and Car Show. I'm Malcolm Gladwell.